It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. Demonstrators have packed the streets of Kiev, Ukraine this week. Protests began as a response to Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych's decision not to sign a trade agreement with the European Union. Now, demonstrators are calling for Yanukovych's resignation. These are the biggest protests in Ukraine since the Orange Revolution. Stephen Pfeiffer is a former ambassador to Ukraine. He's currently senior fellow at the Brookings Institution's Center on the United States and Europe. I asked him earlier today what it means when people say the protests in Kiev are the biggest since the Orange Revolution.
Well, in 2004, during the Orange Revolution, you saw several hundred thousand people in the streets of Kiev, and they stayed out there for several weeks, basically, to force a revote of an election that they saw was badly flawed. You've had demonstrations now in Kiev for about 10 days. On Sunday the 24th, it was estimated about 100,000. And on this Sunday, December 1st, the numbers go from anywhere to 300,000 up to, I've heard, as many as 700,000. And that was triggered this time by both unhappiness with the President Yanukovych's decision not to go forward with the association agreement that would bring Ukraine closer to the European Union. But I think it was also a public backlash against the authorities' use of force against demonstrators early on Saturday morning. There was a almost visceral public reaction against that.
Who is behind these mass demonstrations?
Well, the opposition has tried to mobilize people. But again, it's a combination of several different issues. One is people who were genuinely disappointed when President Yanukovych's government announced almost 2 weeks ago that it was going to suspend its preparations to sign an association agreement with the European Union. That agreement was seen as a vehicle to bring Ukraine closer to Europe. It has a free trade arrangement. And Europe has an attraction to a large segment of the Ukrainian population. A second part of this, as I said, was this public backlash against the use of force. There were more people bloodied and hurt in the crackdown on Saturday and Sunday than in 3 weeks of the Orange Revolution. And I think Ukrainians took pride back in 2004 that the Orange Revolution was so peaceful. And the third factor that plays into this is sort of general unhappiness with the Yanukovych government and with its failure to tackle corruption and the difficult economic circumstances that prevail in Ukraine.
Why did Mr. Yanukovych decide to turn away from a potential deal with the EU?
Well, it was announced on about 2 weeks ago. And I would guess if you went back 2 weeks, there was still some uncertainty whether the European Union itself would sign the association agreement, in part because back in earlier this year, the European Union had said there are certain democratic criteria that Ukraine would have to meet in order for the European Union to sign. The one big informal criterion was what happened to former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, who's been in prison since 2011. And I think for a number of EU states, her release, or at least permission for her to travel to Germany for medical treatment, was a requirement. However, before the European Union could pronounce a final view on that, President Yanukovych said he was suspending preparations, perhaps to preempt what might have been a rejection by the European Union.
Well, as you describe the numbers of people in the streets, Stephen Pfeiffer, I imagine that the protests have some kind of impact on the Yanukovych presidency. What impact is that?
Well, it limits his options in several ways. First of all, although Mr. Yanukovych paused on the path towards Europe, he did not do a U-turn and head towards Russia. The Russians have been trying to entice Ukraine into a customs union with Russia, Kazakhstan, and Belarus. Nobody in the Ukrainian government is talking about that. And I think what you've seen in terms of the protests on the streets is if Mr. Yanukovych were to try to go towards Moscow, the public would be very much against that. So that limits his options in that sense. And at some point, he's going to have a dialogue both with the opposition and some of the representatives of the demonstration if they want to try to find a political solution if these demonstrations continue.
How has the European Union itself responded to the protests in Kiev?
Well, the European Union and actually the United States government have taken very similar positions in terms of saying, you know, that the population has a right to peacefully demonstrate and that the government should not use force to break up peaceful demonstrations. And there have been very strong messages both by the European Union and American representatives on the ground in Ukraine, but also coming out of Brussels, other European capitals, and Washington. Now, also, the European Union has said that they're still prepared to, the door is still open for the association agreement. They are not shutting any doors, and they're prepared to continue that discussion with Ukraine.
I get the impression, speaking with you, that if Mr. Yanukovych does not turn back to at least consideration of this agreement with the EU, that he risks losing his presidency.
I think that's the polls show that about 50% of the Ukrainians, and some polls show more, would like to go towards the European Union, would like to see the association agreement signed. And it's interesting, though, on the other side, you don't see really an alternative narrative. Those people who may not be for Europe, they're not saying we should go back towards Moscow. And I think that does constrain Mr. Yanukovych in terms of the options that he faces. But he has, right now, the miscalculation and the decision to use force on Saturday prompted a huge backlash. If these demonstrations continue at the sort of numbers that we're seeing, you know, at some point he's going to have to get into a dialogue, perhaps a roundtable discussion, and figure out some kind of a political compromise, or it's going to be a threat to his presidency, you know, whether in fact he can remain president until 2015. There was an effort this morning, the opposition did call a vote of no confidence, and they would have needed 226 votes to bring the government down. They had 186. Interestingly, about 135 members of the parliament did not vote, including a large number of members from the president's party, the Party of Regions. They did not vote to support the government. So there's some interesting politics going on the side as well.
Have you seen any signs that he's willing to talk?
He basically has backed off on the question of use of force. He criticized the use of force. He did have a conversation yesterday with the head of the European Union Commission and talked about let's re-energize the dialogue on the association agreement. So there are some indications. But the real test will be if there's actually a political discussion between Mr. Yanukovych and the head of the opposition and some representation from the demonstrators. You know, can that dialogue really proceed? He's not somebody who gives the impression that he would compromise easily or be prepared to reach out to sort of meet the demands of the other side in an even-handed manner. So this could be a very tricky dialogue for him.
That's Stephen Pfeiffer, former ambassador to the Ukraine. He's now senior fellow at the Brookings Institution Center on the United States and Europe.
Coming up in a minute, the monorail's back. It's The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde with Marcy Silman.